You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 19th of August 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. We've reached the end of another week. Friday is here once again. The weekend is just around the corner, and you're either listening in your lunch hour at work, on your way home in the car, or perhaps you're downloading it from the archive later. But I do know that you are here today to hear from my guest all the way from Texas, who I am very grateful to for standing in for me on the show last week, Grandpa Dan. Grandpa, how are you doing today, sir?
Oh, doing all right. You know, Friday Daily Nationalist is just a special thing. For instance, I did do it solo, as you mentioned last week. And yes, the next time I do it, Sven Dankshanks shall be back. It shall be a recurring feature. But today's also special because it marks once again a return of the Daily Transitionalist.
It certainly does. Where would we be without our transgender stories here at the Daily Nationalist? We're talking about transgenders today because of an incident in Gaelic football, which is a game they play over in Ireland. It's like a cross between football and rugby. It's very fast, very violent, and not the sort of thing that you would expect women to want to be involved in. A 30-year-old transgender woman was allowed to play in a Gaelic football Women's Cup final against young female players. Julia Valentino saw her team, Nagael Araca, the sport's first openly LGBT plus team, lift the Dublin Junior J Shield trophy after beating Nafiana's Ladies E team. But as a much older biological male competing against 16-year-old biological females, Valentino's presence in the team sparked concern both at the match itself and online. So we got two issues here. We have the transgender woman herself, who looks more like a balding middle-aged man, and they are playing in a junior team against 16-year-old females, 16-year-old biological females. And when I actually saw the picture, I had to take a double take because I thought, that can't be the transgender. That really can't be the transgender. That has to be the referee. But no, it's not. That is the transgender woman looking nothing like a woman. There are other pictures of them looking very, very angry, as I say, with male baldness. And they were literally playing against these 16-year-old girls, and unsurprisingly, they won the cup. Grandpa, what do you make of this new story?
I'm glad you explained the whole, because we kind of had this discussion before we started doing this story, because I had to ask, you know, what kind of football are we talking about? Obviously not American football. Is it soccer? And I'm glad you gave, you know, of course you told me before the show, explained it. It's like rugby, soccer hybrid thing, very violent. And yeah, we're looking at this picture. I'm just wondering, like, don't they have like an age thing? It's weird that he's competing against these younger teenage girls. But nonetheless, regardless of that, it's still funny. You don't know how tempted I am. I really should just totally completely keep my look and join a women's sports league of some sort, just because it's funny. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? You look at this, you've got this violent sports. It reminds me of these times you've had these transgenders enter into the women's, like the mixed martial arts, you know, the arena fighting, you know, and the results are always very violent, very, very, very predictable. in the end, and yet you find yourself we're juggling our narratives here. We're on the one hand, you have our narrative that women can do anything a man could do, and it's just like TV. You see, they have the special training so they can take down these men and do anything a man can do. But now it's in conflict with this transgender thing, because you have reality with these transgenders, and as you've pointed out, Spin, this person doesn't even look remotely female. And you have these transgenders in, and it's like, well, it's politically incorrect to say, yeah, we can't do that because we have to be inclusive. But then that takes the narrative of women can do anything a man can do and literally bashes it in the face and breaks its bones. So you have this competing thing, and you see all the people that support these different narratives, and the cognitive dissonance is just funny to watch. You know, it's because, like, on the one hand, it's like, yeah, it's a woman, girl power. And then on the other hand, it's like, no, we can't have these transgenders in here because, I don't know, it could, like, literally cripple one of these women for life. And it's funny to watch them dance around all of this. But, yeah, no, it's just once again another level of clown world absurdity that we get to feature here on the Daily Transitionalist.
Well, I think they're not just a transgender. They're also a trans teenager as well. I mean, there's nothing to exclude you from joining the junior team rather than the adult team. If you're a transgender, you can do whatever you like. While the Nafiana coach raised concerns about the much older player to the referee at the time, some on Twitter claim women are having their accounts suspended for speaking out against Valentino's inclusion on the team. On August 7th, the Ladies Gaelic Football Association released a statement where they said they are developing a policy around transgender players after an objection was noted about a transgender player playing in the Ladies Shield final in Dublin. The Independent reports Valentino, originally from Italy, moved to Dublin in 2019 and began playing for a rugby club before getting injured. She claimed she wanted to play a women's game because of sisterhood, validation, and political visibility. Nothing to do with being the best player on the pitch then and beating all the women and getting all the attention. No, it was because of sisterhood, validation, and political visibility. So they're basically trying to make a political statement by doing this, but it seems to be more of a political statement in our favour rather than in favour of transgenders, having somebody that does look so biologically male, twice the age of the people they're playing against, and then getting put forward as the poster girl for the team. I mean, it really does look as if the political visibility here is for our sort of politics rather than for trans politics. What do you make of her reasons here, Grandpa? Sisterhood, validation, and political visibility.
Well, you know, in clown world, all you have to do is throw out gibberish words and it's all good. I was sitting here pondering, you know, if this person, I mean, this is a golden opportunity, and I have to wonder, I mean, obviously I don't know what goes on inside someone's head, but I mean, you just have to think, if you were a guy and, like, you just, for whatever reason, you got off on the idea of being able to, like, you know, beat up women. this would be like an awesome, I mean, really, I mean, because people do all sorts of, you know, all sorts of twisted things. And you have to think, if, like, this is a golden opportunity for, like, if you're a man and you really just get off on the idea of beating the crap out of women, and this is like a golden ticket. You can, and it's totally legal. You can join, like I referenced, MMA fighting earlier or something like this, because this is not, you know, a contactless sport, as you explained. You know, it's basically a cross with rugby. It can be very violent. So, you know, if you're a guy and you really like the idea that you could smash in women's faces and it be totally legal, well, all you got to do is this transgender thing. And again, as you've pointed out, Sven, this person isn't even, like, remotely passed. You look at it and it's like, what's this dude doing here? And obviously when they had the game, they raised objections. And, you know, you can't think that the other team raised these objections lightly, because there's always this, oh my gosh, you're being transphobic thing. So the fact that they raised the objection, I'm sorry, and were confident in doing so, reinforces the notion this person doesn't look remotely like they're even trying to be female here. This is just this guy out here smashing 16-year-old girls and knocking them down. You have to wonder if at the point, like, somebody does, I'm kind of making light of it because you just have to. But still, if it's a violent sport, I mean, if he smashes some 16-year-old girl in the head and causes brain damage, does the political correctness stop there? Does somebody finally say, well, okay, this inclusive thing shouldn't include the idea that some girl now has brain damage because she got smashed by this big old dude in this match. You have to wonder where the limits are. It is, at some point they say, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. Are we going to continue with transgenders in MMA until some woman literally gets killed in the ring and say, well, that's just the breaks because the other quote unquote woman was really, really strong. This kind of pushes the edge of this. You have to wonder how far it's going to go. But the fact that, again, they felt comfortable raising this objection, you know, tells you that how ridiculous this is. This guy walks out here, a bunch of 16-year-old girls. As you said, I guess he's trans age, too. He's younger. He identifies as being a teenage girl, and we have to go along with this. You know, and finally, it's also laughable that people are being banned from Twitter for complaining about it because of course they are. Way back in the day, you know, when we were being people like us were being banned off of social media, we said that it, you know, these things always continue to expand and grow. And here you go. You got people complaining that there's this guy out here who could literally put these young females' lives in danger. And they're being banned for pointing this out. You know, this and it's there's no sign of it slowing down. There's no sign of it stopping. We're just going to keep pressing forward, apparently.
Well, it's not just that if you want to beat somebody at sports, if you want to be top of the sports game and you're a man, you can just claim to be a woman and join in the women's sports. You might also get nominated for Women of the Year awards. I mean, we've seen this happening quite a few times with these sporting transgenders. Well, Valentino has previously been outspoken about allowing transgender women to play on women's teams, criticising World Rugby last year for its decision not to allow it at an elite level. I'm quite annoyed by this harsh approach, she said at the time. She has also opened up about being asked to use a separate changing room while playing rugby in Dublin. At the final at the beginning of August, the match referee stopped the game after the first break in play to tell Valentino's team, "The player is a man," adding it was a problem. After Valentino's captain reportedly explained the player was a transgender woman, the referee said that the other side had the right to appeal the final result of the match. So that's the way they deal with it. Yes, you're just going to have to carry on with it, but you have the chance to appeal at the end of the match. I mean, it's not just the women in the team in this cup that were saying, look, this is an issue. This has always been an issue, and the referee was pointing out that the player is a man here. And the way that she's criticising World Rugby for not allowing transgender women to play on women's teams at the elite level, I mean, it's a contact sport. It's a violent sport. It's like saying, you know, well, why don't you allow men to take part in women's boxing or something like that? It's like these people just don't have any idea of common sense or the difference in strength between men and women. I mean, this really does show, I think, that they must have some serious mental problems to think that this is completely okay, that somebody who does look exactly like a biological male should be allowed to play against teenage girls. Grandpa, what do you make of Valentino's thoughts here?
Well, I mean, at some point in time, reality literally punches you in the face. I mean, that's what we got. And we've been having this false reality, this lie that they've been pushing about this, you know, oh, if they identify and say they're female, then we all have to go along with it. Then that means they are female. But, you know, biology doesn't change, obviously. And in this case, this isn't even somebody that looks remotely female. Again, where the referee is like, hold on, that is a dude. Come on now. You know, and they're, oh, no. She's transgender. Now, we're supposed to just all roll along with this lie. Well, no, that person identifies as female. So, you know, we all have to say yes. And as you say, this is a violent sport. The ramifications, it's all fun and games until somebody, you know, could get hurt, you know, really, really seriously. So that raises the question, when that inevitably happens, and it is inevitably going to happen, whether it's on a sport such as this, or as I can say, we've already got, there's already been cases of transgenders being in this, like this MMA fighting or whatever. And, you know, it's inevitable somebody's going to get like seriously brain damaged or even killed. At that point, do we abandon the lie and say, yeah, no, we're not going to do that? Again, this is a conflict of narratives. because they push this narrative that, oh, yes, no, we have to act like we have to all go along and say that person is absolutely female. I think you and on previous shows, Sven, has said that, you know, like with the bathroom thing or whatever, you know, it's like, or with the sports, I'm sorry, with the sports thing, you know, just have a separate category, just have a transgender sports league. Then there you've solved the problem. But they don't want to do that because the narrative says, no, we have to say these people are literally female. And we have to all go along with that. But again, at some point in time, reality is going to literally smash you in the face. And it's inevitable that at some point, one of these actual biological females is going to be seriously hurt, not just broken bones, but seriously hurt, maybe even killed. I mean, that could happen. Then what? Then do we finally say, yes, no, we can't keep doing this? Are we going to continue to say, well, that's just the breaks? It would have happened the same if this person, you know, that did this is biologically female. At what point in time do we say, yeah, no, this is BS. We're going to quit doing this. You know, that's enough. Now, we talk about this person doing this, you know, this transgender person, but that's almost just, I mean, it's almost a side issue because it's the organization that is saying, yes, this is A-okay. I mean, yeah, you have the individual person who's inserted themselves into this women's league, and not just a women's league, apparently like a junior league of young women. And, you know, that's whatever, because the organization is supposed to exist to enforce rules and say, yeah, no, you're a 30-year-old dude. You have no business playing with 16-year-old girls. You know, I mean, you're always going to have somebody, you know, I mean, high school boys would go into the girls' dressing room every day if they could get away with it. At some point, you're supposed to have the organization that says, no, we're enforcing the rules. You're a 30-year-old man. You don't get to play against 16-year-old girls. That's ridiculous. But they don't. I mean, the fact that the guy wants to go in here and play against these girls is almost, I mean, because you're always going to have somebody that's going to want to do that or push the boundaries. I guess that's what I'm kind of fishing around here. You're always going to have somebody that's going to want to push those boundaries. It's supposed, the reason you have an organization is they step in and say, yes, no, you can't do that. We're here to say you're not allowed to do that. Here's a different league you can play in that better matches you, whether you invented a transgender league or whatever the case may be. You don't just sit there and fold up your arms and say, well, it's perfectly fine for this 30-year-old dude to play against 16-year-old girls. What could go wrong? You have an organization there to enforce the standards, to enforce the rules, and obviously they're failing to do so. And I guess my roundabout point here is the issue isn't really even this individual person doing this, because, again, I mean, people are going to push the boundaries. You know, I mean, do you blame, like here in the U.S., do you blame people coming across the southern border trying to find a better life? Or do you blame the government that just opens the gates and lets them in? I mean, if they've got the opportunity, of course, they're going to do that. The person doing this is almost irrelevant in the sense that the failure here is on the part of the organization that is supposed to enforce standards and supposed to enforce the rules and say, no, this is a league for 16-year-old girls, not 30-year-old biological men. But of course, this runs into our current narrative that we have to say, you know, there's 784 genders and we all have to go along with that. So, of course, you have this hesitancy to enforce any standards, any rules. And in this case, at some point, look, you mark my words. I mean, we make light of these stories because they are stupid. But at some point in time, whether it's in a rugby type of sport such as this or whether it's in one of these MMA matches, it is inevitable some biological female is going to be seriously, seriously hurt. And then what? I'm guessing we'll just keep going along with the narrative and the media will just not mention it.
Well, I think it's already happened, isn't it? In the women's wrestling, I think there were some ribs broken, or it might have been the MMA fighting with transgenders. There have already been serious injuries, and yes, they still continue. The 30-year-old was taken off after sustaining an injury, but put back on the field after she had been treated, and she was later substituted again at half-time. After news of Valentino's inclusion on the team began to circulate on Twitter, women expressed their concern about how a 30-year-old biological male was allowed to compete against young women, and many claim they had been banned from the platform for doing so. One woman called Farah tweeted, "I'm back after being locked out of my account since August 5th for hateful conduct. Let me say up front, I disagree. I called a man a man. Where's the hate?" She added that she had to delete earlier tweets she had posted about Valentino before the platform would reverse her suspension. Now, this is surprising, isn't it? As you pointed out earlier, Grandpa, it was always nationalists that ended up getting banned from these platforms before. But now we do see a lot of feminists and lesbians that are upset about this transgender issue, and they seem really surprised that they get banned for pointing out common sense things such as calling a man a man. I do think this is good, because this is, you know, this is really hammering home this transgender agenda to these feminist types. They're learning where they come on the victim hierarchy, and they're not at the top. It's the transgenders that are at the top. What do you make of the Twitter deplatforming here, Grandpa?
Well, as I said earlier, when it was nationalists being kicked off, these people all applauded it. And at the time, we were warning them. We warned those people. They're not going to stop with nationalists, because it always expands. You see this among these people that support the latest thing all the time. You'll have a few of them, you know, and they're the loudest proponents of the latest narrative. And then the latest narrative changes and they get caught behind, you know, because it changes literally almost day by day. And they'll get caught behind the narrative and say something that was okay yesterday, but today it's deemed bad thing. And then they get attacked and then they get banned. And we're seeing that. And we warned of that at the time. People are like, y'all are all laughing because we're getting kicked off and they're calling us all these names and banning us, but they're gonna get around to you. And they're like, oh no, we're not, because we support current narrative. But we see this now, and as you've said, the feminists are getting caught up in it and whatnot. And we warned them this was going to happen, and lo and behold, once again we were right. Now, like I say, this is just going to keep escalating. Now, I mean, at some point in time, these organizations, because I kind of prefer in the story like this to focus on these organizations, because again, it's the organization's job their job is to hold the standards. It's their job to say a 30-year-old man can't compete against these women, and they're failing to do so. It's not really even the individual transgender person's issue. They're just seeing what they can get away. This guy's just seeing what he can get away with. And obviously it is. And in that, I don't support the idea that these women in a sport like this could seriously be hurt. You know, it's not like Leah Thomas, where it's just funny because he can outswim all the women. That's just funny. Nobody's going to be hurt from that except feelings. But, you know, you go to something like this and somebody could seriously be hurt. And obviously that takes a backseat to being politically correct, to being up with the latest thing. How far does it end? I mean, how far does this go? Again, you have to think that this guy is just pushing these boundaries. And, you know, I'll say it once again. This is a failure on the part of these organizations to do their basic fundamental job.
You know, if you're white, you're going to fall foul of Twitter or Facebook at some point. Camille Svastix, who says she is a lesbian, said, "I'm in Facebook jail for the same." Another Twitter user, at Pandemic Poncho, claims she was also suspended. She told Female, "I think it is preposterous. Twitter clearly has its own agenda and considers this to be hate speech. Utterly bonkers. Seemingly many individuals have had their accounts locked or suspended by merely pointing out a scientific truth." They've literally only just worked out that Twitter has its own agenda. Twitter has its own progressive agenda that includes promoting pedophiles as well as silencing people for pointing out scientific truths. Heather Binning of the Women's Rights Network has said, "The women who have been suspended from Twitter are the latest in a long line of women, and some men, who have been banned from the social media for stating the truth. Of course, no one should abuse others on social media, but Twitter and other sites is colluding in the lie about biological facts. We have known people banned for misgendering, calling a man, or using he or him pronouns. And I'm afraid that it seems women, and particularly lesbians, who speak out on these issues who are most vulnerable. It's no wonder the hashtag Twitter hates women is regularly trending." So people are getting really concerned about this. It does seem as if the women and the lesbians are getting very, very upset about this. Twitter is colluding in the lie about biological facts. But not just Twitter, it seems. Labour politicians are unable to actually define what a woman is. I mean, this seems to be the hot button topic of our times, isn't it? What is a woman? Can anyone actually define what a woman is? Well, I will define what a woman is. It's a man with a womb. That's what the word means, a man with a womb. And if you don't have a womb, then you cannot be a womb man. And more than that, male and female were man created. So when you talk about man, you are talking about men and women. That's where the word comes from. It comes from the Bible. God created man, created he, male and female created he them. So if you're talking about women, then if you're going to be absolutely accurate, then it has to be somebody with a womb. And these and that would include transgender men, wouldn't it, really, when you think about it? Grandpa, what are your thoughts?
Well, as you said earlier, as you pointed out earlier, these people are now finding out that there is a hierarchy here, and they're lower on that hierarchy. I mean, aside from the fact that I don't think 16-year-old girls should be put in danger of, like, you know, having physical injuries or possibly even having their brains bashed in if some big bulky dude smashes into them going after the ball. Aside from that, these same people have supported this. Now that the negative repercussions of that is happening, whether you're talking about bannings, you know, being suspended from Twitter. Again, these same people, it was fine when it was happening to nationalists. Now it's happening to them. They don't like it. These same people have supported all of these quote unquote progressive, it'd be more accurate to call them regressive agendas. They all supported these agendas. But now that the negative consequences of that, it's like a criminal gets caught and you see them and they'll go in the courtroom and they all stand up there and say, Your Honor, I'm really sorry for having been, you know, for what I did. But they're not sorry. They're sorry that they got caught. It's like this. These people supported all of these agendas. This is, you know, like I say, I'm sympathetic. I don't think 16-year-old naive girls getting their brains bashed in is a good thing. But at the same time, as a group, so many of these groups supported all this nonsense. But now that the consequences of that support have come around, you know, and now they're seeing these things happen. You have these guys say, yeah, I'm transgender. Let me compete against you. And they can't win anything because obviously there are differences between men and women, which they've been saying for years isn't true. Then now all of a sudden they don't like these consequences. And this goes beyond sports. We've had this push for years to put women in combat roles in the military. You know, look, we're making a big deal out of transgenders in a rough physical sport, you know, and this could be, you know, this obviously isn't fair. But how about we link that to this notion that a woman can do anything a man can do? So we should put women in combat. We should hand them a rifle and put them on the front lines in a war alongside men, because, you know, that's what the narrative says. A woman can do anything a man can do because I saw it on TV. You know, it all links in together. At some point in time, reality does reassert itself. Again, aside from any sympathies for a 16-year-old girl, because if I had a team, if I was coaching a team of 16-year-old girls and the other team put this dude on the field, I'm straight up being serious here, I would pull my team off and refuse. Even if it cost me the match, I would pull my team off and say, we're not competing. And when they say, well, how come? I'm not going to put these girls' lives in danger. It's just not worth it. Sure, you can have the win, whatever. You know, I mean, at some point in time, that's what a responsible person should do. But again, setting all of that aside, it is funny that the very same people who supported all of this nonsense, if we weren't all banned, for instance, and we were the ones pointing out, these same people would be sitting there going, oh, y'all are a bunch of, you know, evil transphobic haters or whatever. These people have supported all of this. Well, now the consequences have come around and now they're whining about it. Now they're complaining about it. They don't like it. And lo and behold, they're shocked when they get suspended or banned from Twitter. You know, it's, you see these things coming around. You see these things that, you know, you see, oh, this is going to happen because of this. But they ignore all of that, push forward because they all want a virtue signal. They all want to be considered good people. Now that the consequences of that have come around, and now they all want to whine. I have to be honest, my sympathies are very limited here.
Well, the point is, if somebody did pull the team, they would instantly be accused of being transphobic, and there would be a hate crime case against them. I mean, that's the reason why they don't pull these teams, I think. One woman who posts under the handle @RedAwakening reportedly had her account suspended for saying 100% of rapes are committed by men. People rose to her defense, with one Twitter user saying, hey, @TwitterSupport, you have suspended @RedAwakening for stating that all rapes in the UK are committed by men. This is a fact written into UK law. I'm sure this is a silly mistake. Maybe reconsider. Well, it's not actually a fact written into UK law. There was a news report that came out a month or so back that was saying because of these transgenders, particularly transgenders in women's prisons, these rapes have taken place, and it is skewing the statistics because we do now have women that are raping other women. And the reason for it happening is that it is biologically intact males that are presenting as females, and then they are raping the females. So no, that is not correct. But what is the reasoning for Twitter actually banning an account for saying 100% of rapes are committed by men? I mean, that almost seems like Twitter is jumping to the defense of men, doesn't it? Grandpa, what are your thoughts?
I was just sitting there thinking, you know, about them, you know, at Twitter support, you know, oh, you've made this horrible. Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck. I'm sure Twitter support will get right on that. Look, as a people, as a nation, you can chase after a lie for so long, you know, and the results are always going to be negative. I mean, because it's just, that's just how it works. That's just how the natural order of things works. And you chase after this lie for so long, well, now you have these negative repercussions, and it's going to continue. At some point in time, people have got to stop that and say, no, this is the reality. You know, this is reality. There are men, there are women. You know, if you're going to do this transgender thing, yeah, then create a transgender sports league or whatever. Right now, you've got people like this guy who doesn't look remotely female, and they can just go up and say, well, I'm transgender, and compete among these women. I mean, you talked about the prison rape thing. Now, why wouldn't you? I mean, why wouldn't you, if you were a man and you were, you know, convicted of a crime, or you knew you were going to be convicted of a crime and sent to prison, why would you not be like, yeah, I actually identify as a woman and get sent to women's prison versus men's prison? And yet, the system itself, because of the weight of the lies, is breaking down, where even the legal system, this is a sports league, but even the legal system then says, well, we have to go along with the narrative, even though it's obviously a lie. We've got to go along with this narrative and put these men in these women's prison. It's just so stupid, because it's just this adherence to a lie, no matter how in your face it is. And I don't know what the limit is, because we're putting men in women's prisons now, and so we haven't hit the limit yet. So what is the limit? I don't know. Obviously, 30-year-old guys that look like guys, you know, competing against teenage girls, that's not the limit. Putting men sometimes, you know, into women's prisons because they say, I'm a woman, that's not the limit. I don't know where the limit is. Is there a limit? I don't know. I guess we're going to keep going till we find out.
And we'll certainly be covering it here along the journey along the way. Well, a prominent women's lawyer and activist, Sarah Phillimore, has had her home address and picture publicly posted after speaking out on women's rights with regards to gender. She posted the tweet that had a Google Maps tag for her home address and said, "This is what women have to face. I will see what Twitter does. To be fair to Wiltshire Police, the last man who did this was arrested." Sarah told Female it was unsettling and distressing, and claimed her personal details were online for more than 12 hours before they were eventually deleted. She added, "It is ridiculous and enraging that we are supposed to accept that an obviously male person, bigger, stronger, and faster than his female teammate or opponent, who is a woman. It is dangerous for the women playing the sport, as well as a denial of our right to speak about material reality." Sarah also said the women were being targeted for their political views. So we have somebody who's been doxed here, the same thing that happens to nationalists. They're being targeted for their political views, the same thing that happens to nationalists here. They're being banned from talking about material reality, the same thing that happens to nationalists here. I think this is rather good, actually, that this sort of thing is actually happening to our left-wing opponents. Perhaps they might have a little bit more sympathy for when it happens to us. Do you think so, Grandpa?
Well, they won't. But yeah, my reaction to that is cry me a river. As you said, when this is happening, all of this stuff is nothing new. This was happening to us. Well, now that it's happening to them. And again, these are literally the same people that was happening to nationalists. And I use the past tense because for the most part, nationalists have been banned from every major social media platform now. When it was happening to nationalists, these are the same people applauding it. Well, now that it's come around to them, now all of a sudden, cry me a river. You know, oh, they're being doxxed. They're being targeted for their political views. Who could have seen that coming? This is a brand new thing. No, it's not a brand new thing. And again, these same people applauding it when it was happening to nationalists. So cry me a river now that it's happening to you, especially in the context that when it was happening to nationalists, nationalists were saying, you know, it's not going to stop with us. They'll get around you. They keep narrowing the circle. They keep making a smaller and smaller box of what is politically correct and what you're allowed to say, what you're allowed to think. And at some point in time, you're going to get caught outside that box. And now that very reality is happening. And now they're crying about it like, oh, this is a brand new thing. Who could have thought this could have ever happened? That's the thing about censorship. Once you step outside the boundaries of simply you're not allowed to threaten violence, you know, obvious common sense things, and you start censoring everybody, it's always a tightening noose. It's like a Chinese finger puzzle, you know, where you put your fingers in each end of that tube and it gets tighter the more you try to pull your fingers out. That's the thing about censorship. It's always expands. The noose is always getting tighter and tighter. Sure, the nationalists were the first ones to get banned, doxxed, threatened for their political views. But you see, that noose gets tighter. And then the next layer of people gets banned. And then the next layer, and it's always getting smaller and smaller. That's why when you first start seeing that happening, you know, the sensible thing to do is for people to speak up and say, look, I disagree with these people, but they shouldn't be banned as long as they're not threatening violence against people and things such as, again, common sense things that are already literally illegal. You cannot make terroristic threats. You can't say, oh, I'm going to go shoot these people or something. That's already against the law. Once you start allowing, well, we don't like what they're saying because they're being rude or they're being edgy or that just offends us. Once you start that, that noose gets tighter and tighter until pretty soon nobody's allowed to say anything. You're just left with the only ones who are allowed to say anything publicly are the major media and the government. Everybody else is excluded. We warned of this. Now it's happening. You see the noose get, and the noose will continue to get tighter. And these same people who thought, oh, no, that won't happen to us, it'll be A-OK. Now they're getting caught up in it. Like I said, cry me a river. That's just what you get.
You know, it's rather like the extremism laws, the terrorist laws. And everybody was like, OK, yeah, use them against the Muslims. And now they're using them against patriots. And people are starting to think, should we have really brought them in for the Muslims? Locking people up when you don't have evidence against them. Another woman recently banned from Twitter is Alison Bailey, a prominent lesbian lawyer who recently hit headlines after winning a £22,000 discrimination case in court. The tribunal upheld her complaint against the GCC over her view that no one can change their biological sex, with her take on this subject being found to be protected in law. She had been branded transphobic, but says she is an LGBT ally on her own personal blog. So she's making a point there of losing the T. So it does seem that it is upheld in law, it is protected in law, that you can say that no one can change their biological sex. But Twitter is enforcing their own view that people can change their biological sex. So you would hope that somebody would do something about that, wouldn't you? At least Hungary and Poland have. Hungary and Poland have made laws that if Twitter or Facebook tries to remove anybody for something that is not actually against free speech, not actually against the law, then Twitter and Facebook are going to be fined. But it seems that in the West, in places like Britain, they can enforce this progressive narrative without actually being told that what they're doing is against the law. But I am pleased to see there that it has been upheld in a court that you are allowed to say that no one can actually change their biological sex. But I guess what they imply by that is that you can change your gender. Well, author J.K. Rowling has shown public support for Alison Bailey, and she is often blasted for her views on gender on Twitter. She called the barrister a heroine during the tribunal, saying in a tweet, she is refusing to abandon her beliefs and principles in the face of intimidation and discrimination. She has also been dubbed transphobic, but upholds her sentiment that women have a right to safety in sports, prisons, and toilets. With regards to Valentino, she has, however, remained silent on Twitter. J.K. Rowling has actually become the go-to celebrity for comments against transgenderism. Surprisingly enough, a couple of years ago, she was a hero of the progressive left. Now she's this right-wing, transphobic, misogynistic, nationalist supporter. Of course, she's not really. She's just pointing out common sense. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this today?
Well, I mean, J.K. Rowling is a good example of what I referenced earlier, the tightening noose, the fact that the box of allowed thought just always gets smaller. It gets smaller and smaller what you're allowed to say. And again, that's the problem with censorship. It always gets smaller and smaller. And things, you know, people that a couple of years ago were in the mainstream and applauded for their virtue signaling, all of a sudden they're outside of that box. These people that support this stuff, that support whatever current thing is in the name of virtue signaling and being considered a good person, always have to be worried that they're going to get caught outside of that deal. And because once you're demonized, there's no going back. You know, we've seen this time and again, one of these people gets caught outside of what's allowed or considered okay today. You know, they get attacked by the Twitter mob. And, you know, if they apologize and say, I didn't know, whatever, it never does any good. I mean, once you're outside, you're outside. And J.K. Rowling is a good example of this. As far as the Twitter censorship goes, you always run into this thing, because you pointed out, like in the UK and here in the U.S., whenever you point out the problem with this, you always run into people that defend it. The shills that defend it always are going to hit you with some sort of libertarian gibberish about, oh, well, it's a private company, so they're allowed to ban whoever they want to, as if, well, a private company, you know, what? If freedom of speech is supposed to be protected by law, then, you know, are they free to violate whatever laws they want to? Could Twitter, you know, could a corporation, for instance, just rip you off and rob you? Could a corporation, you know, commit fraud and take your money and say, well, it's a private corporation, they can do anything they want? Well, no, of course not. That, you know, that's why we have laws. They're supposed to apply to corporations as well. And freedom of speech is enshrined in what in the U.S. and what's supposed to be our fundamental law, the Constitution. You got these platforms such as Twitter and Facebook. They are the public square. So they are, you know, the freedom of speech is supposed to apply there, but the government doesn't apply that. And again, the shills that defend this nonsense will always come up with some libertarian nonsense about, well, they're a private company, so they can do whatever they want to. Really? So could with that line of thought, with that line of reasoning, could Twitter come out, for instance, and say, well, we're not going to allow black people on our platform any longer? And it's a private company. They can do whatever they want to. Well, of course not. Then the federal government would be all over them. They would be all over them and say, no, that's a violation of this and a violation of that. You can't do that. But yet when Twitter picks and chooses who's allowed to speak, when they're allowed to ban voices that aren't calling for violence, that aren't breaking the law, then all of a sudden we get hit with this gibberish about, well, it's none of the government's business because they're a private company. You don't get to have it both ways. If you're going to say then they can do whatever they want, then Twitter could conceivably say as a private company, they're not private, they're a public company, but, you know, because they're a corporation, then you could have to say, well, then Twitter could ban black people because they just don't want black people on their platform. Well, of course, we don't allow that. But yet we do turn a blind eye when they ban people because they don't like their political views. They don't want their political views out in the public arena. And it is good, as you said, that certain countries are trying to take a harder line with these social media companies. It's good that they're doing that. And yeah, I mean, we're just going to continue to see this, I guess. We're just going to continue to see the censorship noose get tighter and tighter until I mean, at some point in time, if it doesn't stop, the only people allowed on Twitter are going to be like MSNBC, CNBC, and the government. Everybody else, I guess, will be banned.
Or they'll be on Gab. I guess at the end of the day, governments should be enforcing free speech law. They should be upholding free speech. And the sports organizations that govern women's sports should be standing up for the women and not allowing the transgenders on there. But of course, they will then be accused of being transphobic, not affirming gender, and they'll be held up in court. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.